Who has a hymn for us to start with? You have one? Jesus loves me. You know, I'm going to have to go find my glasses. Somebody found that number for us already? Number 40. Let's sing number 40. How about we sing the first two verses of number 40, Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Would you like?
41.
Number 41. Number 41. Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. You know, I hope that every one of the children here this morning will be one of those children. Number 41.
Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing.
Maybe before we go further, there's a little boy there who has one for us, but just before we're going to sing yours, maybe we'll just ask the Lord Jesus for his help this morning. In your number, maybe you want to tell me the number that you have. Which number? So you have one for us? Which one?
59.
Number 59. What's 59 in the little book? Somebody remember? I don't remember it. Well, maybe we'll sing one in a few minutes. Just before we carry on, though, let's turn to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, the 15th chapter. Just to introduce what I have in my heart this morning. The 15th chapter of Proverbs, in the first verse, it says, "The soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Grievous words stir up anger. I want to speak this morning a little bit about stirring up. About stirring up. We've had that before us a little bit this weekend. You know, I've appreciated in the prayer meeting on Friday, as we started, we had a brother that mentioned the thought of that our hearts would be stirred up. And then in the prayer meeting for the gospel, our brother John Kaiser here, he prayed the same way. He prayed that our hearts would be stirred up. You know, and our brother Bob Tony, yesterday when he prayed the same thing, that our hearts would be stirred up. And our brother Doug Nicolay, as he was speaking to us about our walk, he prayed that he said, and he spoke to each of us, that each of us would be stirred up in our walk. You know, we have a little verse here that says, "Grievous words stir up anger." I don't want to talk about that kind of stirring up, but I just want to tell you a little story before we go on. Just before I left, I was working in a home. And the home that I was working with in, we were doing a kitchen in there, and the mom and the dad, they were gone, and there was two little boys there. One of them was 2 years old, and the other was four. Two boys. And it came to be lunchtime, and there was a babysitter there, and she made two peanut butter and jam sandwiches. Anybody had a peanut butter and jam sandwich before? Yeah, well, you know, these two little boys had a peanut butter and jam sandwich set in front of them. And the babysitter said, "Have to eat your sandwich." So the two-year-old picked up the sandwich, and it was going down. But the four-year-old, he didn't want the sandwich. "I don't want the sandwich." "Well, if you don't have the sandwich, you're not going to get a treat for dessert." "I don't want the sandwich." And, you know, babysitter left and came back in a minute. And the two-year-old was still chomping on a sandwich. And on the four-year-old's plate, the sandwich was gone. It was all gone. And the babysitter looked and said, "You finished your sandwich quick." "Yep. Yep." You know, there was no evidence. And right beside him, the dog was going. And so the babysitter said, "Did you eat the sandwich?" "Yep." You know, the babysitter looked at the dog, and there was a piece of the sandwich that was hanging out. And the babysitter said, "The dog's got your sandwich." "Nope." "Well," she said, "well, what's that in the dog's mouth?" He looked. He said, "It's a sandwich." So, you know, the babysitter said, "Well, no treat." And you know, after lunch was finished, the two-year-old got a treat. And the four-year-old got no treat. And you know, I thought of this verse because the two-year-old went over to the four-year-old with his treat. And he went over like this and he says, "See what I got?" And he took a big bite out of his treat. And you know, the little boy was very unhappy. And it was war. He was very unhappy. But it says here, "Grievous words stir up anger." You know, it doesn't take very much to stir up anger. But I want to speak this morning, boys and girls, about stirring up. You know, where I come from in Rideau Ferry, we have a Sunday school. We have a children's meeting. And in that children's meeting, there are boys and girls just like here. There's a class for older boys and girls that are not sitting in the front row. They're sitting back a little bit. And there's a young people's class. And you know, my dad comes to the children's meeting, and he's almost 89. And all the older folks that are in around his age bracket, they all come to the children's meeting too, because everyone likes the children's meeting. And I trust that this morning that everyone here, not just the children, will get something for what I have on my heart this morning. And so let's turn to Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64, we read a verse there. In verse 7, it says, "There is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee." Now that's a sad verse. That's a sad verse because we read this portion and we don't read about anyone that's stirred up. And wouldn't it be a sad thing, boys and girls, if we came to the St. Louis general meetings here and we went back home and there was nobody that was stirred up? Nobody that was stirred up. Wouldn't that be sad? It would be. Here we read about a time there was nobody stirred up. "There's none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee." What a sad time that we read of in the book of Isaiah here. Now, that's something that's very needful for us. We're going to do something here this morning. A kind sister brought this for me. I haven't even looked in the bag yet. Let's see what's here. Well, who can tell me what that is?
Orange juice.
Well, we're going to do something here. We're going to take the lid off like this. And we're going to put the orange juice. You know, we're doing something here that all you boys and girls have seen done before. Every one of you have seen this done. And at home we take glasses of water and we put it in to the orange juice, don't we? So, would anybody like a drink? Anybody like a drink of this? I see some dubious faces. What do you suppose the problem is here? Pardon me?
You need to stir it.
I need to stir it. That's right. I need to stir it. You know, I trust we learned from this morning. That's something that we need to do. Could you come and help me? We need to get this stirred up, okay? You just reach in there and you just stir that for a little bit, okay? You just help me out there. And we stir and we stir. And sometimes it takes a little while to get something stirred up. And sometimes it's like that with us too. We need a little time to get stirred up. But while she's stirring there, let's just turn to another portion in 2 Peter. You just keep stirring there. 2 Peter. Second Peter, the first chapter. Okay, thanks very much for helping me stir this. This is helpful, you know. It's not all stirred, though, we see. But we'll just leave it there and we'll do some more stirring. And let's look at 2 Peter and the first chapter. And I thought, you know, how do we stir ourselves up? We know how to take this orange juice and stir it up. But it says in Haggai there that there was none that stirred himself up. I thought, you know, how do we get stirred up? Do we take this spoon and open our mouth and put it down? Do we stir ourselves up like that? Is that how we're going to get stirred up? No, we're not. And I trust that as we go through this little portion this morning, these verses, that we'll see how to get stirred up. And so here in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we read in verse 13, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up, by putting you in remembrance." You know, we have to have our memories stirred up. We have to be put in remembrance. You know, I have a not such a good memory, but I have something that helps me remember. And you know where I got what I have to help me remember? I got it about 20 years ago. The Lord gave me a wife, and that helps me to remember. Helps me to remember. So here in this portion, we find that it's needful to be stirred up by ourselves being put into remembrance. Now, boys and girls, let's look at the book of Haggai for a moment. Turn over to the book of Haggai. We're going to read a little bit more about being stirred up. Haggai chapter 1, And here we read about a stirred up spirit. Stirred up spirit. In Haggai chapter 1 and verse 13 it says, "Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did the work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God." I've enjoyed that, you know, because it says the Lord stirred up the spirit of these ones, and he used Haggai the prophet. And you know, boys and girls, sometimes when we need to get something done, it's good to have some help. I know in our house, you know, when I ask the boys sometimes to do something, and sometimes there's not a real willingness like I'd like to see. But you know what really helps? It really helps to just to do what Haggai did here, because if we were to go to the book of Ezra, you know what we would find? We would find that the people were stirred up, and they went to work. But you know what it says there in Ezra? I believe it's the 5th chapter. It says that the prophets worked with them. The prophets worked with them. They not only stirred up the people, but they went along with them, and they helped them. And you know, we get something done around our place when Dad tells the boys to go and do something, and then Dad goes along and helps too. That's when something really gets done. Well, here we find the Spirit was stirred up. I don't know, it's a little different word here, but I've just thought of the Spirit of Christ, you know. Sometimes it's dormant in us a little bit. Sometimes it needs to be stirred up a little bit, just like this orange juice here needs to be stirred up. You know, boys and girls, I want you to look at this orange juice. We've been stirring here for a little while. I'm going to show you what I've got in here. Is this orange juice all stirred? You know, it's not all stirred yet. We still have some there, and so we just keep stirring it until it's all stirred up. And we'll speak about that a little bit. Let's look now over at something else that needs to be stirred up in 2 Timothy. We find a verse there. You could go to 2 Timothy. And in the first chapter of 2 Timothy, we read the 6th verse. It says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." You know, boys and girls, each one of us have something that we're good at. Is that right? There's boys here and there's girls here. You know, each one of you are good at something. And us older folks are good at something too. And sometimes we don't use what we're good at. And here I wonder if Timothy was using what he was good at. And so you know what the apostle wrote to Timothy? He told him that he need to stir up the gift. Well, he had the spirit stirred up, but now the gift had to be stirred up. Had to be stirred up just like we're stirring up this orange juice here. Get it all stirred up. The gift in Timothy needed to be stirred up. Now let's go back over to 2 Peter where we were earlier. And we read again in 2 Peter chapter 3. Where we read about our minds that need to be stirred up. And we read in 2 Peter chapter 3. The first verse, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Oh, to have our minds stirred up. You know, boys and girls, sometimes at our house, we get to supper time and there's nobody around. Nobody around. And so, you know, sometimes Dad might say, "It's supper time," and nothing much happens. But, you know, when I call the children by name, you know, I could go over to Abby if she's in a book, and I can say, "It's supper time," and nothing happens. But when I say, "Abby, it's supper time," when I do that, you know, she wakes right up. She wakes right up, and she comes for supper. And, you know, the apostle Peter here, he writes and he says that his desire would to have their pure minds stirred up by way of remembrance. And you know, I was thinking of this little subject, for you to turn over to Exodus chapter 35. I was thinking of our brother Don as he was speaking to us on Friday. He didn't speak about being stirred up, but I thought of this little portion in the 35th of Exodus, where we have that little subject before us, but we have taken up in Exodus 35 what he took up on Friday. And so in Exodus 35 and the 20th verse, in connection with bringing all the things that were needful for the tabernacle, it says, "All the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, and as many as were willing hearted." The 25th verse. "All the women that were wise hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair." 29th verse. "The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing." You know, boys and girls, we had that little message about giving, and it's so needful. But here we find that these people, they had to have willing hearts. They had to be stirred up to have willing hearts. That's a wonderful thing, to be stirred up. You know, boys and girls, I wonder if we could just sing another little chorus before we carry on. How about we sing number 47, just the first verse in the chorus of number 47. "When he cometh, when he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his love and his own, like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in his beauty, bright gems for crown." So, boys and girls, I want to look now back in the Old Testament for two more little portions before we close in the book of Zephaniah. And we're going to learn a little bit about this orange juice. In the book of Zephaniah, the first chapter. This is also a solemn portion in the first chapter of Zephaniah. The 12th verse, it says, "And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees and say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil." Now, this is a sad time. It speaks about those that are settled on their lees. You know what that means, boys and girls? That means they're just not stirred. They're just not stirred. You know, boys and girls, if we were to take this orange juice, and this happens at our house sometime, and we leave it there, and we were to leave it there for a day, you know what would happen? We would find that all of a sudden, at the end of another day, there'd be a line here, and it'd be really dark on the bottom, and it would be light on the top. And that's what this means. It speaks about men that are settled on their lees. You know, when you have orange juice and you look at orange juice and it's very dark on the bottom, it's light on the top, what does it need? What does it need? Somebody know? Dave's helping me out here, whispering. He said it needs to be stirred up. It needs to be stirred up. That's right. You know, boys and girls, let's go to Jeremiah. And I appreciate this because our brother Stan Jacobson, he referred to this verse in the first reading meeting. He didn't turn us to it, but he referred to it in Jeremiah chapter 48. And we're going to learn a little bit about what it means to be settled on our lees and stirring up. Because we read here about Moab in Jeremiah 48. It says, and verse 11, "Moab hath been at ease from his youth. He hath settled on his lees." And now it says, "And hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel." You know, boys and girls, we're going to learn a little bit about that verse, because it says here about Moab,
They were settled on their leaves. It's just like orange juice that settles all down to the bottom and needs to be stirred up. And you know, boys and girls, sometimes we're like that. Sometimes we're like that. Our desire this morning is not simply that the boys and girls here would get saved, but that every one of you, if the Lord leaves us here, would not only come to know the Lord Jesus, but that you'd be gathered to His precious name and go on in the assembly in a manner that's consistent with this precious book, with the Word of God. And so you know what it says here? It says, they have not been emptied from vessel to vessel. You know, that's another way of stirring. And if I was to take this orange juice and I was to go like this, that's what it's speaking about here in Jeremiah. It's speaking about being emptied from vessel to vessel. And you know, boys and girls, sometimes the Lord does that in our lives. Sometimes the Lord needs to bring things in our lives that are difficult for us. They're hard. And it's just like being emptied from vessel to vessel, just like this. And you know what happens when that gets done? See any chunks of orange juice in here now? No? You know what that means? It means that this orange juice is all stirred up properly. That's the way the Lord would have us to be. You know, we need to have that smooth consistency in our lives, not to be full of chunks like the orange juice was when we first started. That's what the Lord's desire for us. And so we find here in Jeremiah, the 48th chapter, it says, Moab hath been at ease. And that's a sad thing to think about Moab. From his youth. That means from children. Never got stirred up. Never got stirred up. It's a sad thing when there are boys and girls and they never get stirred up. Their spirits never stirred. Their minds aren't stirred. Their hearts aren't stirred. The gift that's in them never gets stirred. They're not stirred up. Because they haven't been emptied from vessel to vessel. Oh, boys and girls, this morning, my desire is that you'd be stirred up. You know, there's young people that came here this weekend, and I trust that they got stirred up this weekend, that their hearts would be encouraged, you know, as we leave St. Louis today, if the Lord tarries, that all of our hearts would be stirred up, that we'd be like this orange juice that's been poured from vessel to vessel, so that now it's good orange juice. It's good orange juice. It's all stirred up. And that's what the Lord's desire is for each one of us. Well, boys and girls, you know, I'm going to have a little drink now. You know, if I had a drink at first, I'm sure it wouldn't have been much good. Maybe somebody else would like one. Somebody wondering, you want to come and help me drink this? You know, I just have... You go ahead and you tell me what it's like. Is that good orange juice? It's good orange juice. You go ahead and take that. You know, that's good orange juice. It's all stirred up. And the Lord's desire is that every one of us would be just like that orange juice. We would be a refreshment for someone else. As we go back to our little meetings, that we would be a refreshment for them because we're all stirred up. We're all stirred up, having been here at St. Louis at the special meetings. Well, boys and girls, let's just ask the Lord now to bless His precious word to us.